The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, producer number nine. So much more than a producer is here as well. You good, Kelly? How's the hand? Hand update.
It still hurts.
Remind everybody what happened to your hand.
I guess, you know, my Hulk-like strength just crumbled the Starbucks cup, and hot coffee just went everywhere. But I was in the elevator, so I had to do the kind of, like, step away to not spill on the shirt. That had to look good for the show, Gil. You know how it goes.
Hulk-like strength, cat-like agility.
Exactly. I mean, that sums me up well. So, yeah, I got it all over my hand but avoided my shirt or pants, so that was good. But, yeah, now I'm pretty sure I have, like, seventh-degree burns on my hand, which is fun.
But somehow just the flesh of a human.
Somehow.
Sorry about that, man. Thanks for playing hurt, though.
That's cool. It might look pretty gross in a day or two. We'll see.
You'll be all right. By the way, pro betting tip. Why do I call it a pro betting tip? Can I just call it a betting tip?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what happened to me. All of a sudden, I was like, this is a professional.
Pro.
As opposed to the amateurish ones from earlier. No. Our tip of the hour, last hour, our pro tip. The sixth man of the year market in the NBA could offer some value further down the board right now. Good chance voters don't vote for a guy demoted to the bench. What we're talking about is that Russell Westbrook's at plus 180, I believe, is the one that we showed. But as low as plus 150 in some spots. Jordan Poole now 2-1. We're referring to Westbrook here, who you also pointed out very, very astutely, Kelly, could be traded.
Yeah.
And then he could start, and so he's not even viable for this award at that point. So that you could find value down the board. And in the case of our man Drew Dinsick, he said, go 80-1 on Kevin Love.
I really like that one. That's one I might actually be adding to my little portfolio here. I like that. I have Norman Powell from before the season, about basically at the same number that he's at now, 40-1. I still think that could be in play. But, you know, you look at Malcolm Brogdon, 15-1. There's some good other options out there right now. They're a bit further down the board.
It's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. By the way, our tweets overrun, but we got several tweets about what you were hinting at just before the break. Jeremy Larson, Joe Murray, our expert. Another one, Matthew Mayberry. Everybody's saying it is Adam Chernoff releasing the Texans at +6.5 that made the line drop. So that is what accounted for the Giants dropping to only 5-point favorites. So we were right. There was nothing football.
Yeah.
It was our boy Adam.
There's some shot bet is coming in.
John Goulet texts in. I didn't ask permission if I could read his text, but I'll read it anyway. Because he's all on board with what I was saying. He said, he texted, he's like, look, he goes, if McDaniels loses this week, he's fired immediately, he says. It would cap a three-week stretch where he lost 24-0 to the Saints, blew a 17-point lead to the Jags, and then loses to a first-time head coach who worked at ESPN 6 days before the game. It's everything we were saying.
Yeah.
And has an assistant quarterback's coach calling plays just decided a minute ago. By the way, let's bring in Mike Pritchard, VSiN host, former NFLer, college football national champion. Do you agree? First of all, hello, Mike. How are you? Good to see you.
Good morning. Kelly, I thought you were a Greek god, man. How's coffee affecting you?
We all have our Achilles, right?
I hear you. Right. That's a good one. I like that.
You know how many times my doctor said to me, Gil, we all have our Achilles. Yours just happens to be your Achilles. I was like, how many doctors have you said that to?
Goes, yeah, we all have our Achilles except for Gil.
Right.
What about Josh McDaniels? Because we were saying it before the break, too. It's like, okay, wait a minute. If he loses this, and let me just go back in NFL history, because historically, so there was the Bill Belichick Jets day where he was the coach of the Jets. Remember that? Let's throw that out for a second before he took the Patriots job. George Allen, after he was coach in Washington, he was coach for two preseason games 1 year in Los Angeles. He got fired, so let's throw that out. That's a preseason thing. But as far as regular season, the shortest stint in the history of the National Football League for a coach is 9 games. Pete McCulley, San Francisco 49ers, 1978. Who could forget that, Mike? This is game 9 for the Raiders. Should Josh McDaniels be fired? Will he be if the Raiders lose this outright?
Well, I mean, if they lose to the Colts, he should be fired. But I don't think he will be, because they're purging the roster. Like, they're cutting bait with a lot of people that they didn't have anything to do with. In other words, Mike Mayock and John Gruden, all these first rounders, they're releasing them. They're not even letting them play on special teams or demoting them that way. They're just outright cutting those guys. So it's like, you know, you're talking to Mark Davis, who brought him in, by the way, after the Raiders won 10 games last year. They bring in Josh McDaniels, and here's coaching 101. How do you stick around? Well, I'm going to purge this roster. I'm going to draft you a quarterback. Because I think Josh McDaniels and Ziegler, the GM, they're tied at the hip. I think they go back to high school together. And so you brought those two guys in from the Patriots organization thinking that they were going to bring that pedigree here, but you haven't allowed them to exercise their blueprint, if you will. So I think he's buying himself some time, but if he loses to the Colts, he should be fired. Absolutely.
Pritch, what's that 85 jersey that has appeared behind you? Is that Pierre Garçon? Like, who is that? Is that a jersey you had?
That's me, man, from the Seahawks.
Oh, that's a Seahawks.
I got to represent the Seahawks, yeah. I put winners up there, right?
Pritch, you played for the Falcons, Broncos, and Seahawks that you'd be pointed
at. Yes, sir.
Oh, I didn't realize you wore 85.
We can't see the sleeves. His head's blocking one sleeve, the other sleeve's off the camera. That's what
it's hula bowl.
Well, it's an old school jersey, too, though, but.
By the way, which team did you like playing for the most? Which organization did you like the
most? Well, Gil, that's a great question. I answer it this way. So I got drafted by Atlanta, too legit to quit. Pockets were full of money and hot Atlanta back in the day. So then I got traded. I got traded to Denver, where, you know, that's my second home. And so that was like going back home playing with Elway. And then I mellowed out in Seattle. That's what I like to say. So I enjoyed all three. Now, had that been reversed, I don't know if I would have liked it as much. But starting my career in Atlanta, hot Atlanta back then with the Braves, the Hawks, and then us, I mean, it was incredible.
Pritch was a second away from telling Freaknik stories. Thank God we didn't get there.
That's right.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time for those.
No, we don't. Okay. That's for a certain segment of the audience. All right. What about some of the questions we were just sort of getting into? These are beyond the Raiders and the Colts line, which is a little funky because it's not growing. If anything, it's shrinking. We just saw our buddy Adam Chernoff posted a pic of it. He liked the Texans plus the points. So now the Giants are only 5-point favorites against the Texans. That has gone down. We're seeing some 4.5s in some spot. What do you think about that? And then the other one, besides the Giants-Texans, what about the Chargers and Raiders? It's a full 7. Should it be?
Well, you're talking about the 49ers and the Chargers, right?
I'm sorry. What did I say? Yeah, 49ers, Chargers, yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think there could be information about Deebo Samuel being available, right? I'm keeping an eye on that because I looked at that number and I was like, whoa, because that would have Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel on the field off a bye, Eric Armstead perhaps coming back too defensively. And then that's just a mismatch, I think, to the Chargers, what they present and what they have. I mean, Keenan Allen battling a hamstring, he has not really played at all. So even if he does, he's going to be rusty. Mike Williams is probably going to be out too with the ankle. So I think the 49ers line grew. It's a good teaser opportunity, I believe, because you can get that number to a nice number there with the 49ers at home off a bye. The Giants game. Is interesting because I've been saying this for several weeks. You know, they have played unfamiliar opponents. They haven't really dabbled that much inside their own division. Mm-hmm. You know, we found out more information about the Jets when they played the Patriots, certainly, but then they bounced back and they beat the Bills, right? So there's a situation where you got more information about that team dabbling inside their own division. Now with the Giants, you know, they're still outside their division here. And I think the benefit of the doubt is out there for them. But I don't know if they respect laying that many points so far. They haven't really established themselves, to me anyway, and to others, obviously, to lay that many points before that line moved.
Let me ask you about a couple other games this weekend. These are the two that I sort of reacted to the most dramatically on guessing lines. Mm-hmm. Seattle and Tampa Bay in Munich. So they're traveling to Germany. Seahawks have done me very well, and those who have bet the Seahawks this year, it's been a nice little ATM. Fading the Bucks has been a nice little ATM. But now we have this quirky neutral site. Buccaneers are still the favored team. How do you feel about this? Like, is this, I mean, you're a former player, you know how the sort of biorhythms of this work out, for lack of a better term, but like, am I wrong to think that the wrong team is favored here?
No, you're not wrong at all. I think there could be a Brady tax, you know, guys. Bill Belichick, he beats the Cleveland Browns convincingly. Then he lays a big number at home, which he shouldn't have done. And so there was an opportunity right there. And I think that happens, too, even in college football with Nick Saban, right, Alabama. But I think with Tom Brady, if he looks the part, he looks good, everything's okay, I think their Brady tax will come back. Well, even though Seattle is a surprise team playing very, very well. I mean, Geno, my goodness, the guy's competing over 70% of his passes.
He's amazing.
And the weapons. Yeah, he is. And the weapons that he has, too. So I love to see all those Seahawks as a dog because I can do so many things with the Seahawks in the dog situation. So I'm actually happy that they're the dog here on the road in Munich, Germany, against Tom Brady and a bunch.
Great teaser leg, too, as we talked about. The last thing, 30 seconds. The other one that I reacted to is I thought the Bears line was too short. What do you think wins out here? The new Justin Fields tailored offense, finally Bears, tailoring to your quarterback, or the fact that their defense is just so depleted now after trades that the Lions can exploit that?
Yeah, I think I think the Lions can try to exploit it, but there's this inconsistency. I like Justin Fields and what he's doing. I like how he's turned the game into a Pop Warner game for himself, and therefore it's easier for the Bears right there. Now, I like the Bears against the Lions.
Okay. There you go. I feel better. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it as always.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Mike Pritchard, everybody. His Seahawks uniform now being hung behind him along with his Hula Bowl jersey.
Gil, I got Tiger Woods news for you after the break.
Tiger Woods news. We always love that. Could go either way with Tiger, as you know. We'll come back. Will Hill will join us next. His thoughts on the baseball awards, how he thinks those are going to go. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game. Thank you, Brent Musburger. By the way, Brent Musburger making his annual Megapod appearance this week.
Whoa!
Yeah. Listen, Kelly, if I've done nothing else in life, it's that I've brought Brent Musburger and Todd Wishnev onto the same show.
That's a must listen.
Let that be my
that
legacy.
That is a must listen.
Let that be my legacy. The first year, Palm was just sucking up to Brent, and Todd was just murdering Palm on the show. By the way, you should check out VSiN.com. Among other things that are available, betting tools, picks at a glance, listen live, show replays, all the good stuff. But Michael Lombardi's column on the Colts coaching situation. Did you read this, Kelly? His conclusion, a little bit of a spoiler alert, but you should read the whole thing. There's an increasing lack of respect for the role of head coach in the NFL. How about that?
Interesting. He did have some strong comments about that the other day. Ursay did.
Michael Lombardi, the host of the Lombardi Line, which follows us every day here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Couple things we didn't mention from last night, because, again, it was election day, and so sports were sparse. Georgetown snapped a 21-game losing streak. OT win versus Coppin State. Patrick Ewing ushering the win in overtime.
Yeah, I put that on there because, you know, I don't really watch college basketball, so I was blown away to see that stat.
Oh, dude, Coppin State hit a three to tie it at the buzzer. Will Hill, who our next guest, he kept me abreast of this was going on. He was like, is it good if Georgetown is going to lose to Coppin State? And the other thing was the second of the six college football rankings came out. Remember, only the sixth one matters. Only the last one matters on December 4th. But Georgia was number one, no surprise. Ohio State was two, Michigan at three, and TCU ends up at four. But as we've talked about with Futak and Kramer and everybody else, the TCU thing's going to work itself out because college football is nonsense, right? So if TCU loses a game, oh, well, they clearly can't be in the playoff. Other teams lose a game, oh, you can consider them.
Right.
But apparently TCU has to be pristine.
And then what? Don't count out the Pac-12 teams, I guess, because if one of those runs the table.
Well, don't count out a lot of these teams, right? So Tennessee doesn't play anybody anymore. They can just sort of cakewalk in with one loss. Yes, a Pac-12 team, whether it's Oregon, whether it's USC, could have one loss at the end. How about LSU with the two losses? Do they have a shot? Although Tennessee might have boxed them out, you know. So I don't know. College football, still four of these ranking shows away before we know who is in fact in the 4-team playoff. But could be chaos.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams in there.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man made my night last night during election night because he sent me a clip of an old Mad Dog, a Mike and Mad Dog radio show from the 90s where George Steinbrenner came on the air with him. And I was riveted for like an hour listening to this hour of radio from 32 years ago.
Two of the sports radio goats, man.
It was phenomenal. It's Will Hill, everybody, joining us. So, Will, thank you for sending me that because it was so inspiring to listen, because all three of them, this is so random, but all three of them came out looking so good. Mike and Mad Dog were in George's face, and to the late boss's credit, he was sort of stand-up, right? He was like, whatever, because by the way, it should be pointed out, in 1990, the Yankees sucked at the time of this interview. They were like 17 games below 500, and he just stood there and took the incoming. Well, you're entitled to your opinion, Mad Dog, and maybe we should talk about it afterwards, but here's what I think. You know, that guy, it was awesome. Thank you for sending me.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, it was great theater to watch him go back and forth. And, you know, it's funny, they had some lean years even after that, but it's amazing what came after that in terms of the dynasty. But, yeah, it's funny to think back to a time when Yankee Stadium was empty and the Yankees weren't any good and couldn't get back on track, and Steinbrenner blaming the draft, said, well, the Mets can draft Strawberry and Gooden, we don't have that opportunity. It was just sort of it was kind of fun to go back in time and listen to it.
It was, because he was sort of prescient about the notion of tanking. Right? He was like, well, maybe you have to stink for 5 years to get good. But the funniest part was that he was like, maybe I was wrong, you know, because remember, he was a free agent guy. Maybe we should go with the young guys. And this Alan Mills kid is going to be phenomenal. And it was just like, but then I think you pointed this out after. Is the Yankees dynasty oftentimes credited to the fact that Steinbrenner had to go away for a while and that they were allowed to therefore not trade the prospects like a Rivera and a Pettit and on down the line, Jeter and so forth.
And Mills, yeah.
And Mills, of course, yes.
A lot of the Yankees' old habits, they sort of had the MO that the Knicks have had in past years, where they would sign older free agents, they would trade all their prospects, and George got suspended. I forget, it was something with Adidas. I forget why, but he got a pretty lengthy suspension. And that was a time when Jeter, Mariano, Bernie, all these kids could marinate, and he wasn't allowed to trade them away. He sort of had his hands away from the pot, and those kids developed, and obviously the rest is history. They added some free agents, Jimmy Key and Boggs, and as we break down the 93-94 Yankees, it really is a pretty fascinating interview.
Little Jimmy Key shout out. All right, which brings us to the baseball award season. Let me just ask you this, because everybody's got their tickets, and these are, you know, you're either going to win or lose at this point. There's no messing around with it. There's no betting on it. Do you think it's all going to go chalk, every single baseball award?
I do. The only one I'm not sure of is NL Rookie of the Year. Yeah. I was under the impression Harris was going to win, which I could think you could make a very good case for Strider. Strider's had one of the best rookie seasons for a pitcher, really, I don't know, since Nomo in the mid-90s. Strider, I think, was incredible. I have no issues if he won. I assumed it was going to be Harris, but some of these preliminary awards, and man, there's a lot of different awards, have gone to Strider when I was expecting Harris. So that's the only one where I think we'll see an upset. I think it'll be pretty chalk. The Judge, Verlander, you go down the line, Alcantara. Trying to think who else won, because the baseball regular season ended about 3 months ago, and we still don't know who won these awards, which is ridiculous. Right. But I think it'll be chalk. Do you think we see an upset?
I don't. I think the upset has already happened. The AL Cy Young, we were talking about a little bit about this off air. Ohtani not even in the final three of AL Cy Young. And then, perhaps even more notably, Framber Valdez, who I have a ticket on, 25 consecutive quality starts, not even in the top three. Come on. What are we doing?
Yeah, and he had a real case to win World Series MVP. There wasn't much discourse or debate on it, because
that was brutal, too.
A-Rod and Frank Thomas were too busy telling us that the Phillies were going to be back next year and what a great year this was for baseball. But I thought there was a real case for Valdez to win the World Series MVP. I'm curious then. I'm trying to think who the top three in the Cy Young would be. It would be Verlander, maybe Cease, and I'm trying to think of who
Manoa.
Else.
Manoa was the third.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't like that.
No, by the way, we talked about this yesterday, how, you know, I get everybody on Twitter only wins bets, but we were talking about how we had Valdez and Javier. We gave the explanation as to why we bet them on this show. And we also pointed out the hitters. Here are the guys who could torpedo us. And we mentioned Pena had five hits. And Pena just kept hitting and hitting. So I have no problem with Pena winning. Just like I think if Valdez had won, the Pena voters or backers with tickets shouldn't have had any problem with Valdez. Sometimes it doesn't work out your way. By the way, just the last thing you said about that post-game six, when the Astros had won the championship, the Fox panel after that show with A-Rod and Ortiz, we're quick to praise like the Amazon crew after the Thursday night games. They're awesome. But like, I don't know what A-Rod was talking about, but he's like, this sport has never been in a better place in the last decade. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? It was baseball's the big winner. I was like, are you sure about that?
And they were very certain Philly was going to be right back next year. Oh, they're going to be back next year. Yeah. I mean, it's like they got Atlanta in their division who are all young. They're all signed. The Mets are going to spend, spend, spend. It's going to be very hard to duplicate that path. It was a little fluky. I mean, look, they won. They got there. But, I mean, the Dodgers, the I mean, there's going to be a lot of competition. It's going to be very hard to get back and duplicate that path.
Week 10, National Football League. What have you bet?
I just think there's some teams where I'm like, really, that team is laying that many points. You mentioned Chernoff giving out the Texans. Like I could definitely see that. Expecting the Giants to win by margin is asking a lot with the way they play. Expecting the Bears to win by more than a field goal. I know it's the Lions and you get Goff outdoors. He's not the same quarterback, but I like the Lions plus the points. I like the Texans plus the points. I did take Minnesota, but that line going down a 5, I think we're going to find out soon here that Allen's not going to play. Very sketchy the way that information is
very
sort of dripped
sketchy,
out
yeah.
and leaked out. I think if it was good news, they would have shouted it from the rooftops. The fact that nothing has really come down until Rappaport tweeted today that, hey, it's better than expected. There's still nothing really concrete with it, which gives you pause. Now we're seeing 4.5s here on Minnesota.
Oh, Will, I'm seeing more than that. I see a couple 4s, and I just saw one book move to 3.5 here in town.
He's not
That's
playing.
That's telling us something.
He's not playing. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even know what was expected because it was kind of weird to begin with, right? Well, what does a UCL injury mean for a quarterback? Does that mean he's out 4 games? What does that mean? Okay. And you took the Lions, you said, plus the points. Interesting. All right. What's your thinking there? That the Bears defense is just so depleted, the Lions can score at will?
Yeah, I mean, Fields has been electrifying with the ball in his hands here, but we're really at the point here where the Bears are going to be laying a field goal. I don't buy that. The best bet I made, and I've given this bet out in past weeks, you can still get the Rams at under 8 season wins at DraftKings. They got to go 6-3 to beat you. They still have road games at the Chiefs, at the Chargers, at the Saints, at the Packers, 2 games against Seattle. This team's just not very good at football. So if they go 6-3 and beat me, look, I'll live with it. But to me, them, you know, they're not going 6-3. This is a 3-5 team. They're going to win, you know, 7 games, something like that. I can't see them getting over 8. If they push it 8, I'll live with it. But to me, that's a kind of a strange number.
All right, Will, appreciate it. The Rams are starting to drift into like worst fall from a Super Bowl championship territory. Appreciate it, man, as always. Thank you so much.
Gil, appreciate it. Twitch.tv/GoldBoysNetwork tonight at 6:30, Sunday mornings at 11 Eastern. Thank
Will
you.
Hill, everybody.
Get after
it. The Will Hill. 2 E's. Tiger Woods, what do you got?
He will play 3 tournaments in December, Gil. The Hero World Challenge, the Match, and the PNC Championship. 3 tournaments for Tiger Woods coming back.
What's gotten into that guy?
Ready to play.
He's ready to go, huh?
Ready to go.
Because the last time we saw him, he had a hitch in the giddy up when he would leave the, you know, understandably.
Tiger, that's supposed to be my time off betting golf.
We'll come back. Power rankings in the NFL next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College basketball has started. Now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide. Another friendly reminder that it's over 400 pages. Count them. Over 400. It's our biggest betting guide ever with odds, trends, power ratings, and analysis on every team. Our team of experts includes Greg Hoops Peterson. Man loves college basketball so much he has a nickname, Hoops.
I bet you he's 240 pages of it.
Oh, for reals. Matt Eumann's in there, Wes Reynolds, JBT. They provide their predictions for win totals, futures, conference champions, tournament teams, and breakdown of all 60 coaching changes since last season. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $99 to get VSiN Pro access to everything we do all the way through the Super Bowl. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. One of my favorite things from yesterday's show, Kelly, was when JBT was like, why do you know so much about Pepperdine?
Like, oh, it was so great. He sniffed that one out quick. Like, yeah.
This seems very off-brand for you, Gil.
Oh, so man. Great. And then we had, who's our guy? Totally called me out on Twitter, rightfully so. I'm surprised we didn't get 20 more tweets of that. I'm like, what was that name of the movie with Rodney Dangerfield where he goes back to school?
And I muttered, I go, back to school.
Right. Well, we had like 30 seconds left of the segment. I was like, thank God.
Back to school.
Did you see what I tweeted back at him? I was like, yeah, what's that show with Steve Carell? They all work in an office. What's it called again?
We get tweets of meeting the book. Tim Thompson, love the political talk. And I'm the same way. Just a junkie for the discussion, regardless of my views. Curious with sports betting, if any of the states that have it was approved by voters or by state legislature, seem doomed here in California as both parties against these props. We actually don't know the answer to that question. Just we were following the one in California, and those, as we mentioned earlier, resoundingly defeated, both Prop 26 and 27. One with mobile betting that would have you know, was the one where you had to have licensing in 10 other states, and then the tribal one as well for the tribes. So it was just absolutely got destroyed. Harold Irving sending a shout-out to Jake Hahn again. Let's give Jake Hahn a second shout-out today. Said, outstanding performance last night. Caught your segment on VSiN and cashed. Jake Hahn responding, always a pleasure to join Gil and Kelly, and even better when we can sweep the board. 5-0 for Jake Hahn yesterday in the National Hockey League on the show yesterday.
Good for Jake. You know what, Gil? I even played two of them, too.
Stop it.
Swear to God, because I did big bets later, and Amal was on the Devils and the Golden Knights. I'm like, fine. I got Jake and Amal. There's no NBA tonight. I'm betting a little hockey.
Bingo, bango.
Bingo, bango. Cash money.
Captain CB, Corey Burch, as you were kind of self-validated in Survivor once the Patriots lost to the Bears, and you would have been out either way, for Bob, talking about Bob DeLuca, in the rare event the Vikings and Patriots tied, he would probably have that same feeling. Could you imagine if he did the split on Thanksgiving?
Oh,
if he
man,
got to
yeah.
Thanksgiving, they tied.
Yeah, he'll be rooting for that. He'd be happy to see that happen now.
He won't admit this, but I think what he's really rooting for is, like, I hope Josh Allen is out through Thanksgiving. That's what he's hoping for, all these other people going in on him. Just to follow VSiN. I'm listening about an hour behind. In 2020, I parlayed Biden as a dog with mid-October, early November bets and then got Trump plus 375 as a hedge live on election night. People were disgusted that I bet both ways, LOL. Just making money, folks. That's all I'm saying.
There you go, yeah.
That's all we do here. Apolitical. And it was amazing. Mac on Monday couldn't have been more level-headed. People just texting in, firing away, angry. I think he was a GOP operative, dude. Like, what are you talking about?
I should be better prepared for this, but it is amazing how they, like, I can't, it's hard to find almost anything about sports betting in some of the other states.
Yeah.
Where, like, California, every article is about California.
Captain Jack would be good at this, but because he knows, like, where they all stand in turn. But we're 30 states and the District of Columbia in, so there's only 20 states where this would even happen, and I'm not sure how many of them are at the stage where they would have been on the ballot, because they're either well before that or well after that. So I don't know. California was the big one.
Yeah, the one I guess I would love to hear is if anybody, I know we have a couple stations in Florida out there listening, tweet at us. I'd love to know if it was back up for vote this time around, but I don't think it was. Because, you know, it was been on there, off there a couple of times already.
So we were talking a little bit about this off air, right? In Florida, the fact that it's been on and off, doesn't that worry you more than not having it at all yet?
Yes. And, you know, we talked about this a lot with California about how the worst thing you could happen is not the statewide mobile access and it just be limited to kind of brick and mortar at the tribal casinos and stuff. And that is what they briefly did pass and then it kind of got repealed or whatever.
The tribes wouldn't feel that way, but in terms
of correct.
A wider spread, yes.
Correct. Yeah, you just have more access to different books, all that kind of stuff, right? So that was... You know, I know that got taken away, and you know, Calvin Ridley obviously got wrapped up in that when it was briefly.
It was available for 5 minutes, and Calvin Ridley made a trade.
Exactly. I'm with you. I think in California, if that had happened, that actually would have been a worse outcome than it being shot down at least this first time around.
Want to do some NFL power rankings?
Let's do it.
Do we have a special intro? Yes, we
do.
Plug it in. Crank it up. Is that like old rock stations used to say that all the time?
Yeah.
Crank it up.
Plug it in and crank it up.
That was so cool at one time. Crank it up.
You're listening to 103.1, The Buzz.
The Buzz.
That was totally a station down in South Florida.
The Buzz. There are like marketing geniuses who are like, we should call it The Buzz.
Oh, man, I used to go to the Buzz Bake Sale back in West Palm Beach and like high school and college. Great concert. Gil. Great concert.
I always thought the coolest one was, what was it? It was a 97 one in New York. What was it? Were they like Hot 97? Was it WBLA? I can't remember which one. And one of the big stations in New York was like, I think it was 97, where hip hop lives. When it was phenomenal at the time. It's like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Now that we're randomly talking about this, the one that I never understood is that, like, in 2011, I would hear, you'd still hear like the commercial promos, right? And it's a, you're listening to blah, 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 the 80s, 90s, and today. And you're like, well, wait, we're missing a decade now. Like
the 80s, 90s, today.
Like, what do people say now?
What a far-reaching net of a format that is. What do you mean 80s and 90s?
Like, do they still say that now that we're in 2022? I don't listen to regular radio anymore, so I can't tell you. I don't listen to pop music radio.
I don't. And we were having this discussion, like, how do we take in new music? Yeah, how do we know new music if we don't listen to radio? Is it because I walk through the casino and I hear, like, Dua Lipa sucked into my head? That's how I know all their songs?
I don't listen to anything. You know what I did? I get peer pressured, and then I download Taylor Swift Midnight, and then I'm like, what is this nonsense?
Bruh, the Taylor Swift thing? Joe Pita, famous guest on this show, he was like, he and his daughter, like, did a song-by-song, deep blow-by-blow the night that album came out. Like, he was up into the late hours of the night with his teenage daughter.
I just don't get, like, what why is people pop music, like, happy anymore? Everybody's, like, sad and
everybody's
like,
so angry about.
Everybody's, like, sad and whispering. And
forlorn.
Like, Billie Eilish and Billie stuff Eilish. Just whispers.
She just whispers.
She just whispers.
I don't get it either. Power rankings. That's what we're for. I forgot about
so
that.
So, anyways, Taylor Swift number one.
Of course she is. So, here's the thing. Second week in a row, I didn't move anything. That's how great my power rankings are. It's really not how great they are. It's just that there's no justification, in my opinion, for moving. Now, the only one where there was possibly a justification was, would I move the Bills after a loss down below the Chiefs? I didn't. Reason why? They had some big injuries. Milano on defense being a huge one. So I kept them at number one despite the one loss. I'm more of a two-loss guy to make a move on a team. The Chiefs won, but they barely beat the Titans. All right, two. The Eagles won, but it was like so this kind of lackluster win against the Texans.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go crazy moving you up either. All right, fine, but you're not going down. The Cowboys and Niners were idle, 4-5. The Ravens did what the Ravens do and long drived the Saints to death, but it's not like they beat, you know, the 91 Skins. The Bengals absolutely crushed the Panthers, but that was, remember, the, you know, bounce back game from their defeat at the hands of the Browns. So they stay where they are. The Dolphins beat the Bears, not really a great team. The Vikings beat Washington, not really a great team. And then the Seahawks beat Arizona, not really a great team. I didn't feel the need to move any of them. Now, those are my top 10.
It's interesting. So I like that we looked at this a little different ways because we've talked about these tiers, right? And I've got those three teams at the top so close together.
Me too.
That, okay, take the L. Buffalo takes an L. You get this little injury to Josh Allen, so don't really. It's a little up in the air. It's at least enough questions in my head, Gil, for me to move them down from the 1-3.
Perfectly spot. Okay with that.
And that's where, it's not as much what did the Eagles do, what did the Chiefs do, because I've got so much respect for all three of those teams still. It was just, okay, if we're doing this week to week, The loss and the slight possible injury to Josh Allen is enough for me to make the slight move from 1-3. Other than that, four, Cowboys stay at 4 for me. Ravens stay at 5. I will admit I did consider moving the Ravens up to 4. They're right on that edge to me. They might be the fourth best team.
Our 4-7 tier.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. 4-7 tier. So Ravens 5, Vikings 6 remain there for me, 7 49ers. And look, the Vikings, could they start to drop down this list? Absolutely.
Sure.
But right now they got one loss. So I'm leaving there at 6, 49ers 7. Dolphins, Bengals, I made that swap just because this Dolphins offense is just so powerful, man. It's really starting to impress me. So I got them 8, Bengals 9, and the Seahawks 10. Same 10 teams.
We have the exact same 10 teams.
The same 10 teams.
Which is a very unique thing.
Who's number 11 for you? I was thinking about that.
I was thinking it might be the Titans.
Okay.
Might be the Titans.
I'm thinking Chargers for me.
The Chargers are like 12 or 13, somewhere in there. The Chargers are just so frustrating,
though. They are. Every year. No matter the
quarterback. Every year.
No matter the coach.
By the way, remember how much we talked about Brandon Staley last year? We barely mention him now.
Mm-hmm.
We just have no positive vibe on him anymore. Same 10 teams. Definitely that kind of year in the National Football League. Who's your 32 real quick?
Panthers.
Panthers.
I'm still going Panthers.
Still Panthers for me. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten, his thoughts on the election and the NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. It must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. And I don't mean to just say that. I really mean that. Angriest guy in New Jersey, Kelly, says, tell Kelly he's a Viking. He can handle the pain. He could take a battle axe to the collarbone and bounce back. Come on, man.
I appreciate that.
By the way, he also threw in, because we were talking about music a second ago, he goes, you're in a documentary, Skill. One of the best documentaries you could ever watch is about the Long Island radio station. I believe it was WLIR, not sure. He said they were the first to bring YouTube Billy Idol music like that. It's really good if you have not seen it. Thank you for that. I appreciate the recommendation. This is from Jason Hoover. He said New York was approved by vote. Sports betting. Is that true?
I thought they were good everywhere already.
Maybe it was a layer to the sports betting.
Yeah, maybe.
Rob, this is from Rob's Jaw N, whatever. I'm sorry if I'm not saying it correctly. He goes, any theories as to why the props such as California's are dying at the ballot box? We talked about it a little earlier.
Oh, yeah.
That the people who were exposed to the ads.
There's not theories.
Right. We're massively against it. In the end, by the way, most people were exposed to the ads. They were just confused a lot, too, by them. They didn't know which one to go with. There were two ballot measures, not just one, Prop 26 and 27. So, I mean, that's somewhere in that mix. Jason Schomburg, Florida sports betting is tied up in the courts, he says.
Okay.
Thank you for all these updates, guys. Mark Geiger. Listeners to this show are the best. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney of a numbers game. He says, with no way to legally bet in California, our heads held high. Our return to Clark County, Nevada is on the horizon in early 23. Single story in Summerlin or the Southwest. Two old farts on their way. Cali sucks, he said. Andrew, at Andrew_Rivers. Why is pop music so popular? Existential questions on the Twitter machine today.
Yeah.
And then over the levee, he says, still holding out for mobile betting in Mississippi, grown weary of missing good lines and having to travel 30 minutes to brick and mortar.
So that's another one I guess I didn't know about, because that got approved there, what, years ago at this point, right?
Oh, Matt Brown, Dave Farrah, yeah. Jay Rudin, and I used to travel down there to do our shows, our MGM shows, back then years ago.
But they still don't have full
mobile. Still don't have mobile.
Man, that is terrible.
Yeah.
And the Florida one makes sense, and yes, like the that is tied up in the course. That makes sense. But I remember the first time that was up for vote there, it's all the language in these, right, where they tied it in with the dog racing, where it was basically to get rid of dog racing, then you weren't going to have sports betting. So it was, and they put it on the same vote, and it confused people. Because people right away were like, well, I want to get rid of dog racing. Right. They're hurting these dogs.
Let me just tell you about props in general beyond sports betting. In California, when I lived there, if you go and you read those props, even if you're a fairly intelligent person, you could sometimes spend 10 minutes on a prop and be like, I have no idea what they're trying to say. Because there's so many curveballs within the wording, purposely trying to mess you up. Jason Weingarten lives in California from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. He joins us. He's also the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Little bum that Prop 27 didn't pass, but I was expecting it. It's just mostly unfortunate they spent so much money on absolutely no return. But
what's your theory as to why it got resoundingly beat?
Well, I mean, the ads were pervasive and invasive and just in your face and confusing.
Yeah,
I think just from an actual political standpoint, the reason it didn't pass is because the teams weren't on board as stakeholders. And when they come back with this and future elections and the Dodgers and the Warriors and the Lakers and, you know, the Rams are all behind this, the Indian casinos don't have a chance. You know, when you put that money behind it, they're done.
How did your election betting go yesterday?
So far, so good. I had my most money on two Senate elections. I think we're still waiting to see the Herschel Walker result. I haven't heard anything about that this morning. Lost the what do you call it, New York governor. I'm not totally surprised about that, but I did well with Fetterman. I thought there was very little chance he was actually going to lose.
That was the biggest one of the whole day, that Fetterman beat Dr. Mehmet Oz over there in Pennsylvania. Coming off a stroke, was still able to to win that. Let me ask you this. This is sort of an inside baseball, but you know, listeners to this show are pretty sophisticated on this stuff. What do you make of the fact that credit shops, certain credit shops, did not offer this?
Probably just didn't want to book it at, you know, $1,000 limits or $2,000 limits,
But why did that change from last time, 2 years ago?
Well, I mean, the midterm elections are just a completely different sort of animal than a presidential election. This is a very small market overall.
Was it that, or was it because last time some of those, remember, the election is the beginning of November, but remember, a lot of them weren't decided till months after the fact, and so it was just
That might have had something to do with it. But I mean, that's atypical with stuff like this. You know, typically you're going to get graded relatively quickly unless there's a runoff or a.
I hope it's normal that what you're saying, but it seems like it's more prevalent now, right? Because people dispute elections, and there's, like you said, some of it's in the rules, right? With
but that's probably why it wasn't being offered. You know, on credit, is because nobody wants to unwind that and, you know, deal with, you know, well, I don't want to pay this, or I shouldn't have to pay this till it's graded, whatever, you know, it's a whole bunch of issues.
Do you agree with my premise at the beginning of the show, which is I was saying how, like, some really good sports bettors, right? Sports bettors often caution, you know, more novice sports bettors, hey, don't bet with your heart, right? It's like the single, one of the big tenets of sports betting, one of the more simple ones. Don't bet with your heart. Don't bet for your favorite teams. You know, you should bet with your mind, not with your heart. And that some of those sports bettors who impart that same wisdom, when it comes to political betting, are so entrenched in their viewpoints that they might be good at sports betting, but they actually have trouble with politics sometimes too, because they become really entrenched in their point of view and also get kind of duped by polling.
What I've seen the most is that, you know, somebody who's a $500 bettor will all of a sudden have, you know, $20,000 in an account maxed out on the elections, mm-hmm. which is totally unusual and abnormal behavior for that person. But, you know, you just kind of start clicking buttons, and next thing you know, your whole balance is in play. I see that happening more often with politics, but
interesting.
More so on the, you know, presidential elections. I thought for the most part, the midterms were kind of a dud from betting and viewing. I mean, I was asleep by like 9:30 last night.
The markets were not accurate on a lot of these, though. That's for sure. There was some value to be had, but I think your general point is for sure true. This was not nearly as dramatic as a presidential election, and probably the case 2 years from now as well. Week 10, National Football League. What have you bet?
Seahawks. Always Seahawks.
Me too.
At this point. I am a little worried about
three, by the way. It's up to three.
Say what?
It's up to three now in some spots.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little worried about the travel from Seattle to Munich. That's quite a long flight to go play a football game. The Bucks, though, you know, I've been pretty anti-Bucks all season. I think they got really lucky that the Rams put themselves in a position to lose that game at the end. So you know, they got a chance to turn around their season here in Munich. Wouldn't surprise me if the Seahawks finally dropped a game. You know, they've covered, I think, five of their last six, so mm-hmm. a letdown is in the cards. And then I took the Vikings at 7 with the news that Allen is likely not going to play earlier in the week. I see it's down to 4 actually at some places already.
Yeah. I made a bet on the Dolphins and the Jets to win the AFC East. That's how I reacted to it, because I think he might be out multiple weeks. I'll ask you here on the way out, because we have a minute left. All the baseball awards are beginning now. Do you think all the chalk is going to win?
Yeah, I had some people ask me about this yesterday. I said, I guess the most likely upset would be Machado to beat Goldschmidt, but I don't really think that's happening based on what we saw at the end of the season, or at least the straw polls we saw and everything. Everything should be pretty straightforward. The only toss-up is Michael Harris and Spencer Strider next Monday. I purposely booked flights, so I will not be sitting around watching the Rookie of the Year stuff next Monday. I'll find out what happens when I land.
Jason does that a lot. He's like, I don't want to be party to this. Okay, by the way, Jason, we got to run. I'm sorry. I apologize. Appreciate it as always, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you later.
Jason Weingarten, everybody. The Wide World of Weingarten podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed. Which brings us to our pro tip of the hour. Know why line moves are happening and react accordingly. Remember, the Giants and the Bills line moves happened for very different reasons. The Bills with the Josh Allen injury speculation. The Giants because Adam Chernoff made a play against them. And then react accordingly. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. For Kelly Billet, Gil Alexander. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.